Now the epistle for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Brethren, let us not covet evil things as they also coveted. Neither become ye idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them tempted and perished by the serpents. Neither do you murmur as some of them murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them in figure, and they were written for our correction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, he that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed lest he fall. Let no temptation take hold on you, but such as is human. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will make also with temptation issue, that you may be able to bear it. And the Holy Gospel, sacred from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 19th chapter. At that time, when Jesus drew near to Jerusalem, seeing the city, he wept over it, saying, If thou also hadst known, and that in this thy day the things that are to thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, and thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and strain thee on every side, and beat thee flat to the ground, and thy children who are in thee, and they shall not leave in thee a stone upon a stone, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. And entering into the temple, he began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying to them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Blessed are they that wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb, that they may enter into the city. These words are taken from the book of the Apocalypse. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There are many remarkable stories about war chaplains, the priests who accompanied soldiers to war to say Mass, to administer the sacraments, and to care for the spiritual welfare of the soldiers. Frequently, the stories include heroic courage and absolute, selfless self-sacrifice with an ability to be calm in the most harrowing of circumstances. One such amazing chaplain was Father Vincent Capodanno, who is one of the only nine chaplains to receive the Medal of Honor. Capodanno was born on Staten Island, New York, in the year 1929. He was the youngest of nine siblings and joined the Mary Knowles Seminary, which is a missionary seminary. He was ordained a priest in 1957, and during the next 8 years, he would travel as a missionary to Taiwan and then to Hong Kong. And as America became more involved in Vietnam, Capodanno felt the urge to be of service and in the service. So in December 1965, he volunteered as a chaplain. In April 1966, Capodanno was sent to Vietnam to serve with the 5th Marine Regiment's 3rd Battalion. Capodanno, with the soldiers, earned the fond nickname of Grunt Padre because he was happy, and more than happy, to go through all the same conditions and pains as the Marines. As a chaplain, perhaps he could have had special quarters, special rights or privileges, but he wanted to be right there, no special treatment for Father. And so they called him Grunt Padre. He even volunteered for a 6-month extension after his tour was expired. And it was 4 months into that extension that on September 4th, 1967, The 38-year-old Father Capodanno was in a South Vietnam province when his unit learned that another platoon nearby was in danger of being overrun by a flood and ambush of enemy forces. The heroic chaplain, once he heard these news, left his safe haven and ran to assist. He didn't have to serve this other platoon, the one that was in danger, but he wanted to go out there and help. So he ran through an area riddled with gunfire to go help the platoon under attack. Despite the hail of gunfire, explosions, and other chaos at the scene, Capodanno moved around the battlefield voluntarily, giving the last rites to the soldiers, hearing the confessions of the wounded here, and giving extreme unction to the dying there. When suddenly, he was hit by an exploding mortar, which caused multiple arm and leg wounds and severed part of his right hand. But that didn't stop the priest. Capodanno refused medical evacuation. The Marines were saying, "Father, let's get out of here. You're hurt, you're bleeding, and some of your arm, your hand is off." But he said, "I'm fine, it's okay." He was pretending he didn't even notice his wounds or that part of his hand was severed. He called out orders and gave tasks to the Marines around him. Let's help our wounded brothers. Father Capodanno noticed a wounded Marine also right then who was directly in the line of fire. So Capodanno didn't hesitate to rush straight over to him. He was within inches of the Marine when a burst of machine gun fire found its target on the priest. Capodanno was hit 25 times and died at the scene. The loss of their grand padre struck every soldier on the battlefield, but the padre's bravery inspired the men to fight on. And so much so that after his death, he was awarded the Purple Heart, the Bronze Star, and the Silver Star. And soon after, with more and more stories being reported and revealed and pouring in of his bravery, his self-sacrifice, and his heroism, his family on his behalf also received the Medal of Honor. Now, my dear faithful, in the Epistle of St. Paul to the Hebrews, the Apostle says there are three ingredients that make up a priest. He says, "Every high priest is taken from among men, is ordained for men in the things that appertain to God, that he may offer up gifts and sacrifices for sins." The first, the priest is taken from among men. That is, he is a part of mankind. Second, the priest is for men. That is, he is on behalf of men to deal with things that appertain to God. He is the intermediary between God and man. And finally, a priest must offer sacrifice, that is, gifts and sacrifices, a visible gift given in recognition of the sovereignty of God and in atonement for sin. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal high priest. In the incarnation, the Son of God comes down. Simultaneously, he became a man and he became a priest. Even the little infant Christ child already was a priest. Taken from among men, a priest on behalf of men, and for the sole purpose of making a sacrifice. And what was this sacrifice that the eternal high priest, our Lord, would sacrifice? The visible gift which he would offer. He offers nothing less than himself and than his own life. That is why he is both priest and victim. You see, there was a decree of our condemnation. There was a decree that we deserve punishment with our names on it because of original sin and the fall of the human race. But our Lord took that decree and he blotted it out with his blood. He took the paper of our condemnation and poured his most precious blood upon it, dyeing it red. And then he nailed it to his cross. Adam, the first man and our first father, had sold us into slavery. He had sold us out. And the second Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, bought us back. Our Lord redeemed us. As June is the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, it is very fitting that the month of July is dedicated to the most precious blood. As we can feel our heartbeat as we are sitting in the pews or in the sanctuary or standing at the pulpit, as we can feel our heartbeat and our blood is pulsing through our veins from our heart and to our heart, our Lord, the Sacred Heart and the spotless Lamb, was determined. He came down from heaven and he was determined to redeem us by enduring his passion and death and having his Sacred Heart pierced through, and every last drop of that precious blood shed for our redemption. St. Peter the Apostle and the Prince of the Apostles cried out, "You were not redeemed with corruptible things as gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ." We see the price our Lord was willing to pay happily so that you would be able to spend eternity in heaven. With that decree of condemnation, we deserved hell for all eternity. But our Lord paid the price with the sole hope that we would spend eternity in heaven. As man, our Lord could take our place on behalf of men, and he could shed his most precious blood. And as God, he could pay the price of every sin. And thus it is that there is no salvation apart from our Lord Jesus Christ, only by the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the way those merits will be applied to our souls, my dear faithful, is not by any amount of money we may have, any, as the modernists say, nice feelings of holiness, or even by our faith alone or by the Bible alone. The way those merits will be applied to our souls is the sacraments of Christ. The holy sacrifice of the Mass, the Holy Eucharist, receiving our Lord, the King of Heaven himself, going to confession when the precious blood is poured over our souls, which cleanses any stain of sin and purifies our soul. As our Lord took the condemnation of mankind, blotted it out, turned it red, and nailed it to his cross, so in the sacrament of penance, he says and he promises he will do the same for us. We say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I've committed A, B, and C, a list all the way until Z." And God listens to that list of sins in confession. He takes the list of A, B, and C all the way down to Z, and he blots it out and nails it to his cross. In the Apocalypse, Christ the King declares, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And blessed are they that wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb, that they may enter into the city." As Father Capodanno, the heroic priest, was zealously running here and there to help the men, the wounded soldiers, even going into the line of fire and ignoring his own wounds and pain, as he was so determined to make an absolute self-sacrifice for the soldiers, so our Lord, the eternal high priest, went such lengths and laid down his life for us. He spent himself and poured out every last drop of his precious blood from his sacred heart to redeem and save us. Let us then, my dear faithful, avail ourselves of the merits of Jesus Christ by frequenting the sacraments, especially confession and Holy Communion. And every time we receive Holy Communion, every single time, let us receive our Lord more fervently. May the ardent fire that burns, the fire of love that burns in the sacred heart, enkindle and inflame our heart more and more every communion. And by every confession, let us seek to eradicate sin from our lives more and more each time, and make reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which has shed its blood for us. Let us look to the crucifix, and we will see two things. When we look at our crucified Savior hanging upon the cross, we will see the effect our sins have upon our Lord and the malice and hatred of sin. And at the same time, when we look upon the crucifix, we will see the value of your soul, because you see the value and the price that our Lord Jesus Christ has paid for your soul. And especially during this month of the most precious blood of Jesus, let that be our motive and our impetus to receive the sacraments of Christ frequently, to receive them more fervently and ardently each time, and to achieve the salvation of our souls. For blessed are they that wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb, that they may enter into the eternal city. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.